Welcome back to the Kurdish Research Audio Archive. Today we're going through some source material, you know, articles, research papers, notes, trying to piece together the ancient history of the Afrin region. That's in northwestern Syria.
Yeah, specifically, we're focusing on the archaeological clues left by, well, two major players from the Bronze and Iron Ages, the Hurrians and the Hittites.
Exactly. What can the remnants tell us about them in this particular area?
Because Afrin, I mean, the Afrin River Valley and the area known historically partly as Kurdag, it was always this really vital crossroads.
Like a corridor linking Anatolia up north, the Levant south, Mesopotamia east, just sat right in the middle of everything.
Which made it super influential, historically speaking. And naturally, a place where cultures collided.
Right. You had peoples like the Hurrians. They were a force in the 3rd and 2nd millennia BCE, especially with their Mitanni kingdom.
And then the Hittites, the big empire based in Anatolia. They clashed and, well, also mixed quite a bit in northern Syria. It wasn't just fighting. There was a lot of cultural give and take.
So our aim today is to walk you through what these sources suggest about their presence, their footprint, specifically in the Afrin context. What did they leave behind there?
Okay, so let's set that historical stage a bit more for Afrin. As you said, location is key. Strategic.
Definitely. It's a fertile valley right on old trade routes, which of course meant it was fought over. Some sources call it a competing battleground. Makes sense.
And the layers of history there are just incredible. I mean, back to the Neolithic, then continuous settlement right through classical times. It was part of Seristica then, centered around Syro-Roman period, yeah. Islamic, Ottoman, just layer after layer.
Now, the sources we looked at also mention the later, but still ancient, named Kurdag, and talk about Kurdish settlement, maybe even mercenaries back in the Seleucid times.
Right, but it's really important to stress the Hurrian and Hittite stuff we're talking about today is much older. We're talking centuries, millennia before that layer. Our focus is squarely on that earlier Bronze and Iron Age evidence.
Good point. And because it was this crossroads, we shouldn't expect some kind of, you know, pure single culture. It was always going to be a mix, a complex interaction.
Absolutely. So with that in mind, let's turn to the Hurrians. What kind of presence or maybe traces do we find in or near Afrin, according to these sources?
Okay, the Hurrians. They were active from the 3rd millennium down to the late 2nd millennium BCE. Their territory covered parts of northern Syria, Mesopotamia, SE Anatolia.
And their language is fascinating, right? It's related to Urartian, but totally separate from the Semitic or Indo-European languages all around them. The Kabu River Valley over in eastern Syria, that was sort of their heartland.
But they definitely pushed west. Sources show them in northern Syria by, what, around 1725 BCE? And Alalakh, that important city-state, which isn't too far from Afrin, was influenced by them.
Yeah, and then came the big one, the Mitanni Kingdom. That was peak Hurrian power, roughly 1550 to 1260 BCE. They really dominated upper Mesopotamia and northern Syria.
Their influence stretched pretty far west, too, towards Cilicia, Kizilwatna. And if you look at maps based on the sources, Mitanni's western edge looks like it might have included Afrin, or at least bumped right up against it.
Alalakh was definitely under Mitannian control for a time. But a key thing the sources point out is the uncertainty about how much direct control Mitanni had over the rougher terrain, the Kurdag Mountains specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a core area? Or maybe more like vassal land or just a border zone.
And that difference matters a lot, doesn't it? Because it changes what kind of archaeology you'd expect to find. Frontier zones usually have less, you know, big monumental stuff than the heartlands.
Exactly. We know about Hurrian culture generally from big sites like Nusi or Alalakh. They had distinctive pottery cobbleware. Nusi wear these amazing cylinder seals with myths carved on them. They were known for metalworking. Some even think the Sumerian word for coppersmith came from Hurrian.
The sources also bring up this idea of onomastic evidence linking Hurrian origins to some Kurdish clan names or place names.
But they rightly flag it with a major warning. For Afrin specifically, that kind of claim needs proper peer-reviewed linguistic work, which wasn't in the material we reviewed. So it's interesting, but needs serious backup.
Yeah, and it points to the bigger challenge here. Finding pure Hurrian stuff in northern Syria is tough. It was such a mix of peoples Amorites, later Arameans, all sorts of groups within Mitanni itself. Hurrian influence often gets blended in.
Which brings us to specific sites in Afrin with possible Hurrian links. And the sources tell us to be pretty careful here.
Right, like the Andara Temple. It gets described as having Hurrian-styled features, along with Syro-Hittite ones, dated around 1300 BCE.
Which is, interestingly, after Mitanni's main period of power, but definitely a time when Hurrian culture was still very strong and influencing others, including the Hittites and Syrians.
But the sources mention this Hurrian-styled aspect without actually detailing what those specific features are, so it's a bit vague.
Then there's Colpe, a village southeast of Afrin. One source mentions a claim about historic buildings from the Mitanni period there.
Okay, but here's the catch. The sources themselves say there's no specific archaeological backup for that claim. No reports cited, no artifact details, nothing concrete. It's just an assertion, really.
And Nebihuri, the site of ancient Cyrus. One source flat-out claims it was a Hurrian site built in 2500 BC.
Whoa, okay. That clashes hard with the standard view, right? The scholarly consensus is Cyrus was founded way later, Hellenistic period, early 3rd century BCE.
Exactly. And other sources we looked at explicitly say there's just no documented Hurrian or Hittite evidence from before the Hellenistic period at Cyrus itself. It really shows you need solid archaeological proof, not just claims repeated.
What about Tel Jindires? That's an archaeological mound in the Afrin district. It was occupied from the Bronze Age right through to early Islamic times. So you'd think there's potential for Hurrian or Hittite layers there.
Potential, yes, given the Bronze and Iron Age levels. But again, the sources we have don't actually detail any specific findings from those periods at Jindires.
Okay, so pulling the Hurrian threads together from this material, it seems like while Hurrian culture was influential across northern Syria, finding direct, solid archaeological proof in Afrin itself linking sites firmly to the Mitanni kingdom, well, that needs more detailed, substantiated evidence than presented here.
Yeah, and those specific claims about Colpe and an early Cyrus are openly questioned by the sources themselves. It really underlines the difference between general cultural background and specific proven site occupation or control.
It's a challenge for sure, distinguishing influence from proof on the ground. Oh, Hannah the Chai Lady is here. Rajbash Hannah.
Ah, fantastic timing. Chai break.
Always welcome. It's nice to just, you know, pause for a second with a warm cup and let things sink in. This smells wonderful.
It really does. Good moment to reflect on all those layers we were just talking about.
Exactly. Okay, feeling refreshed. Ready to tackle the other big presence here, the Hittites and their Syro-Hittite successors.
Right, the mighty Hittites. They started pushing south from Anatolia pretty early. Old kingdom rulers were campaigning in Syria back in the 1600s DCE, challenging kingdoms like Yamhad near Aleppo.
But the main period of Hittite dominance was the new kingdom, their empire phase, say roughly 1400 down to maybe 1175 BCE. That's when emperors like Shibluima really took control, defeated Mitanni, set up Hittite viceroys in key cities like Aleppo and Carchemish.
And the sources suggest the Afrin area, being part of that Aleppo sphere, would have come under Hittite control during that time. They had garrisons, vassal states, integrating Syria into their empire.
Then, around 1200 BCE, the whole system crashes, the late Bronze Age collapse. The Hittite empire itself falls apart. But that wasn't quite the end of the Hittite story in Syria.
No, not at all. What emerges next, from the 12th century down to the 8th century BCE, are these kingdoms scholars call the Syro-Hittite states.
Successor kingdoms, right, like Carchemish, Pitina.
Exactly. And what's really interesting is how they held on to Hittite traditions. Their rulers often claimed Hittite royal ancestry. They kept using Luwian hieroglyphs for big public inscriptions. They carried on aspects of Hittite religion and art. But, and this is key, they did it all in a very Syrian context.
So Syro-Hittite isn't just Hittite light. It's more like a fusion, a blend.
Precisely. It's this dynamic mix, an adaptation of Hittite and Luwian traditions blending with the local Aramean and other Syrian cultures that were thriving in the Iron Age. Understanding this blend is absolutely crucial for Iron Age Afrin.
And Afrin actually gives us some really solid, tangible evidence of this Syro-Hittite period.
Definitely. The standout example has to be the Andara Temple. It's just south of Afrin city, maybe 5 kilometers. An incredibly well-preserved Syro-Hittite temple complex from the Iron Age.
The dates line up perfectly, right? Used from about 1300 BCE, so starting in the late Bronze Age, but really flourishing in the Iron Age, down to about 740 BCE. Multiple building phases, too.
Yeah, and the architecture is pretty classic for the time and region. A three-part plan. Portico, antechamber, main hall, or cella. It echoes other temples, even descriptions of Solomon's temple in Jerusalem. Solid stone foundations, probably mud brick walls, but the really stunning parts were the carved basalt slabs, the orthostats.
Hundreds of reliefs, I read. lions, sphinxes, like the cherubim you hear about, mythical creatures, mountain gods, fancy plant designs like palmettes, geometric patterns, just covered in imagery.
And there was that huge basalt lion statue, probably 9th or 8th century BCE. Likely one of a pair guarding an entrance.
But the thing everyone talks about are the footprints, these massive meter-long footprints carved right into the stone threshold.
Yes, they're incredible. There's general interpretation is they represent the god, or maybe goddess, actually entering the temple. A very powerful visual statement of Jain presence. You don't see that everywhere.
The whole complex sounds oppressive. Paved courtyard, basin for water, big staircase with more sculptures.
And who are they worshiping? Well, that's debated. Maybe Ishtar or Astarte, maybe the storm god Baal Hadad. But the style, the layout, it all fits into that shared religious world of the Iron Age Levant and North Syria.
And remember that earlier mention of Hurrian-styled elements? This is where it fits perfectly. That Syro-Hittite culture was a fusion, probably absorbing influences that came through places like Kizuwatna.
It shows how these cultures weren't separate boxes. They were constantly interacting and borrowing.
Okay, so Ain Dara is huge. What else points to Hittite or Syro-Hittite presence?
There's the Afrin stele, another really key piece of evidence for Anatolian influence, found in a field northwest of Afrin City.
It's just a fragment, right? But it's Luwian.
Yes, a fragment of a stele with Luwian hieroglyphs. Dating probably 9th or 8th century BCE, so Iron Age 2.
Luwian script, that's the hallmark of the Syro-Hittite states.
Exactly. And the carving, the iconography, is just as important. It shows part of a figure wearing that specific short-fringed kilt. That's the classic look for the storm god Teshup in Hurrian, adopted by the Hittites, and called Tarhunses in Luwian.
And the inscription actually mentions Tarhunses and kings.
It does. So you have the language, the script, the specific image of the storm god, and the name Tarhunses all right there. It's direct proof of Luwian language use and storm god worship in Afrin during the Syro-Hittite period. It shows how those Hittite traditions lived on and changed centuries after the empire collapsed.
So those are two really strong pieces of evidence. What about other sites? We touched on Cyrus already.
Right, Cyrus, Nebihuri. Based on the archaeology in these sources, it's overwhelmingly known as Hellenistic and Roman. We have to repeat that claim about a 2500 BC Hurrian founding. It lacks support in this material and goes against the standard chronology.
So while the wider region definitely had Bronze and Iron Age settlements like Olam Hoyuk near Keeley's isn't far, these sources don't show pre-Hellenistic proof at Cyrus itself.
Correct. And Tilgendires.
Same situation as before, really. It has the right layers, Bronze Age, Iron Age. So the potential for Hittite or Syro-Hittite finds is there. But the specific details of what, if anything, has been found from those periods aren't in the sources we consulted.
It seems like beyond Ain Dara and the stele, the picture gets a bit hazier, maybe because comprehensive surveys covering the whole district for these specific periods weren't fully available or detailed in our sources.
Yeah, so we're really leaning on those major finds to build the narrative.
Okay, so let's try to weave this together, this Hurro-Hittite cultural tapestry in Afrin.
The mixing seems key. We know Hurrian culture had a huge impact on the Hittites themselves. They adopted gods like Teshub and Habat, myths like the Kingship in Heaven story. Kizuwatna was a major channel for that.
And we see echoes of that blend right in Afrin, those Hurrian-styled hints at Ain Dara, and the storm god Teshub Tarhunses on the Afrin stele.
The storm god figure seems central. Teshub for the Hurrians, Tarhunses for the Hittites Luwians, Baal Hadad for the West Semites. They all represented something similar and vital, right? Rain, fertility, power.
Absolutely. There were natural points where these cultures could connect and identify shared concepts, even if the names differed slightly. The fact that storm god imagery is prominent in the Afrin evidence explicitly on the stele, possibly at Ain Dara, really reflects that blending.
The Syro-Hittite culture is that mix. It's not Hittites replacing Hurrians replacing someone else. It's this ongoing synthesis.
Exactly right. So to wrap up what these particular sources show us, Afrin's ancient past was shaped by, one, deep Hurrian cultural influence, and two, a more visible, archaeologically documented Hittite and then Syro-Hittite presence in the Bronze and Iron Ages. Ain Dara and the Afrin stele are the star witnesses for that later phase in this material.
The Hurrian influence feels more like a foundation, a cultural layer woven in, while the Syro-Hittite legacy is more monumental, things you can see and touch, inscriptions you can read.
A good way to put it. Afrin was clearly a crucial spot where these worlds met and mingled.
And thinking about research now, well, building a fuller picture needs more careful scientific archaeology surveys, excavations, where feasible.
And critically evaluating claims is so important, like we saw with Golpe or Cirrus. We need to stick to the peer-reviewed evidence. And preserving what's left of the heritage is just vital for understanding anything more.
It really is. Every piece potentially holds a clue.
When you step back, Afrin's ancient story, just from these sources, is so rich. Not one simple narrative, but this vibrant, evolving mix over millennia.
It definitely makes you think about how those deep layers of history contribute to the region's significance, even today.
Indeed. And maybe it leaves you wondering, how much more is still buried under the soil there? What other stories from this ancient crossroads are waiting to be found, assuming they can be carefully researched and protected?
A question that definitely highlights why understanding this foundational history matters.
Thank you for exploring this material with us today.